In these brief talks on the mysteries of the kingdom of God, I have already looked at the mystery of God, the mystery of godliness, and the first part of the mystery of the gospel. I said that it was so expansive that in the few minutes that I take to deal with these subjects, I couldn't cover it all. But under the first part, we thought about the mystery of Christ and the mystery of God's will and the mystery of the wisdom of God. In this second part, I want to look at the mystery of the kingdom of God. Sometimes the kingdom of God is referred to as the kingdom of heaven. If you read Matthew 19, verses 23 and 24, you'll see that Jesus used these terms interchangeably. They mean exactly the same thing, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. I said that the expansive nature of the gospel is demonstrated by the number of titles it has in the Word of God. And one of the titles is the Gospel of the Kingdom. The Kingdom of God has several phases. It's an invisible kingdom at this moment. In Luke 17, verses 20 and 21, it says this: "Now when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered and said to them, 'The kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, "See here," or "See there," for indeed the kingdom of God is within you." At present, it's an invisible spiritual kingdom. In Romans 14, verses 17 and 18, it says, "For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men." It's a spiritual kingdom at the moment. Another phase of it will come when there will be an earthly kingdom. Jesus taught his disciples to pray, "Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven." And the marvelous prophecies of the book of Daniel show the time when the kingdom shall be given to the saints of the Most High. You can read about it in Daniel 7, verse 27. It will have an earthly phase. Revelation 20 and verse 4 talks about the time when the saints will rule on earth with Christ for 1,000 years. But ultimately, there will be the eternal kingdom when, as it says in 1 Corinthians 15:24, Jesus Christ will hand over the kingdom to the Father. This is the eternal state described in the last two chapters of the book of the Revelation. The mystery of the kingdom of God. It's part of the mystery of the gospel. And that's why one of the titles is the Gospel of the Kingdom. So at least four mysteries are absorbed along with this mystery of the gospel. And even in absorbing those four titles, all the titles of the gospel are not exhausted. Because in Ephesians 6:15, it's called the gospel of peace. Now that is a very understandable title. When you respond to the gospel, you have peace. we have peace with God through faith, according to Romans 5 and verse 1. We are united with the God of peace, for that is one of his titles, as we find it in Philippians 4:9. And having that peace with God, and knowing the God of peace, if you live the way God wants you to live, committing everything to him in prayer, then there is opened up to you the possibility of enjoying God's peace. Listen to Philippians 4 verses 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So we can understand the gospel being described as the gospel of peace. It's also described as the gospel of the grace of God. You find that in Acts 20 and verse 24. That's the gospel Paul says he has been preaching. He says that as he talks to the elders of Ephesus. And of course, in Ephesians 2 and verses 8 to 10, we're told by grace you are saved through faith. It's of God's goodness. It's not something you deserve. It's not something you can earn. By grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So it's the gospel of the kingdom. It's the gospel of peace. It's the gospel of the grace of God. And in Ephesians 1:13, it's described as the gospel of salvation. Read Ephesians 1 verses 11 to 14 and you see there that you hear the gospel. You believe the gospel. You are then sealed and guaranteed a place in heaven by this same gospel. The gospel of salvation. Revelation 14:6 sees it described as the everlasting gospel. It's everlasting because it covers all of time. There's no other gospel. In Galatians chapter 1, Paul speaks about people who try to produce another gospel. There are other religions, other false teachings, but they are all, according to the Word of God, cursed. Listen to how Paul puts it in Galatians 1, verses 3 to 9. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God the Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. That's the only gospel. And he says, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another. Because there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than that we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any gospel to you other than that you have received, let him be accursed. It's the everlasting gospel, the one and only gospel. There's salvation in no other. So many titles for the gospel. And there's one more. Paul refers to it in Romans 2 and verse 16 as my gospel. Have you made it yours? Can you say, like Paul said in Galatians 2:20, he loved me and gave himself for me? I trust that you have accepted this gospel, have accepted Jesus Christ, who made it possible for this gospel to be preached in truth.